May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, again, happy Mother's Day to all who do the job of mothering. As I said earlier, Mother's Day and Father's Day, for that matter, are days when we have that opportunity to say thanks to Mom, Dad, to honor our father and our mother, just like commandment number 5, right, that was handed down to Moses. I remember, though, I was 4, 5, 6, complaining rather indignantly to my mother as Mother's Day approached, how come there are no children's days? Maybe some of the parents here today have heard that one already, and I bet you know what the answer to that I got was. Every day is Children's Day, right? It is good, though, to be reminded of the love, joy, and sacrifice that our moms have made for us. And the Hallmark cards are full of that, right? They created the day, after all. And I am grateful for the opportunity to take time out to acknowledge what my mom has done for me and my sister and my brother. Because it's something I should say to my mom more often. I think you're here this morning, Mom, so that was for you. But days like today, Mother's Day, can be incredibly difficult for a lot of others, right? Hallmark, like Disney, tends to idealize things quite a bit. And the truth of the matter is that not everyone has beautiful memories, or happy memories, or even good memories of growing up. And so these Hallmark days are often extremely difficult. Difficult for those who have physically lost their parent, or for those whose parents may be lost to dementia or Alzheimer's disease. For both children and parents who have become estranged. For those who have been unable to have children, choose not to have children, for those who have lost a child. How difficult is it, I wonder, for some people, when going through the racks of cards to select something to send, right? For each person that finds just the right card, there is at least one who is going, nope, nope, mm-mm, not even close. Sometimes there are others who have stepped into the mom role, whether officially or unofficially, and today can be a day to acknowledge that figure in your life too, that grandma or aunt or stepmom or dad or big brother for that matter. Mothering and nurturing is not limited to biological gender. And the one who created us all cannot be pigeonholed by gender either, our God. God, our mother. For most of us at a certain age, it can be a little weird to hear that. Most of us have grown up hearing the references to God as he or him, and part of this is because of the constructs of our language. And that's why even throughout this sermon about mothering, you'll still hear me use that masculine pronoun. And it's also certainly due to patriarchy in cultures through the ages, including the centuries before and after the birth of Christ. But let me be clear, this sermon is not about opening up debate about whether God is male or female. For me, that kind of debate is completely moot, because God truly is neither male nor female. God is God. God is not human and is beyond our full human understanding and cannot be fully expressed by our limited language. So in order to try to understand the essence of God, we have ascribed to God imagery and characteristics that help us to relate to the one who created us and loves us beyond all comprehension. And when we intentionally expand the language and imagery we might use to talk about God, it does not change the essence of who God is. But what it can do is help us to find a path of connection to God, a way to relate to God. Imagery and metaphor abound throughout the Bible for this exact purpose. Jesus himself uses tons of imagery and illustration to help explain this relationship, most often with parables, right? And tailoring them to his audience. Matthew even says outright in chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus told the crowd all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. They needed the parable to understand. The parables put his message into context that they could relate to, help them make that connection. All through Matthew, for example, we hear God is like someone who sowed good seed in his field, like a landowner hiring laborers, or the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, like a yeast that a woman took and mixed with flour, like a treasure hidden in the field, like a net thrown into the sea. Well, these make sense if you're a landowner or a farmer, a laborer in those fields, a fisherman, a homemaker. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. What are some of the other metaphors, images you can think of for God and his son? Throw them out. What other things do we hear in the Bible? God is living water. Louder? Gentle like a lamb. Bread of life. Our bridegroom. The potter, right? The rock giving us a solid foundation. Light that pierces the darkness of unknowing or evil. He's the vine. A shield. A fortress. A sword. An artist. He's our path. Again, just the tip of the iceberg. And these references aren't mutually exclusive. If God can be a rock, it doesn't mean he cannot also be our shield or our shepherd. God can be our father and our mother. And scripture is full of references to the mothering aspect of God. Characteristics that we traditionally think of as female, so we're just going to go with that tradition for now. All throughout the Old and New Testaments, we find feminine images and language for God, throughout both Jewish and Christian scripture. And starting right back at creation, what does it say in Genesis? So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God holds both male and female aspects in his, her character, if you will. We've spoken of St. Julian of Norwich before. She's that fascinating 14th century female saint and theologian. She was an anchoress, remember? She was literally walled into that little room next to a church. And even John Paul, Pope John Paul of the last century, quoted her when she said, "As truly as God is our father, so truly God is our mother." And it is a fascinating study to find examples in Scripture where God is likened to a compassionate mother, a midwife, a woman in labor, a nursing mother. And for many, and not just women, that's where they find their connection. Has anyone read The Shack or seen the movie? How's God portrayed there? A woman. A black woman. For God is also not white or black or brown or whatever, just like he's not only male or female, right? When all are contained in God, there exists for all an avenue to connect to God. So it was kind of like a study for me these last few weeks as I was searching for and discerning about what readings to select for today. And in our reading from Isaiah this morning, we hear a favorite scripture of many. God speaks to the people of Israel through Isaiah, reassuring them that he will never forget them. The people of Israel, threatened by outside forces, had called out saying, "The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me." And how was God's amazing reply framed as spoken through Isaiah? Good morning, Diamond. How are you? God says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you." God is the ultimate mother. And later in Isaiah, we hear another example in chapter 66. "For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her," to Jerusalem, as the seat of God, people of Israel, "and you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. Mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." I love that. I don't remember coming across that one before. Dandled on her knees. It's not an image we often go to, is it, when we consider our relationship with God, the one who birthed us through creation. Maybe it should be. Because I weep for people who have been turned off the faith because they cannot see God in those terms, who are instead stuck on images of God only as judge or punisher or demanding ruler. Now, I'm not whitewashing God. God's not a softy with no expectations for his children. A good mother or father or parent also teaches, molds, and guides. And there are plenty of examples of consequences in Scripture when the children of God go astray. Just want to share with you from an article by a woman named Ruth Boucher, who with her sister has an amazing site online called Carved to Adorn. And she says, "Like good earthly mother who allows her children to suffer in small ways as they grow and learn, Jesus lets us fall sometimes. And when we are afraid, etc., we may run to Jesus and beg him for help. And when we need to scream and cry and weep, he allows us to do so as long as we need to, until we are quieted, comforted by his love." At my ordination retreat, we went through some visualizations, one of which I basically ended up curled up in Jesus' lap, enfolded in his arms, being quieted and comforted and reassured by his love, being mothered. It was extremely powerful. Which brings us to the story of Jesus welcoming the little children, right? As we heard from Matthew today. It's a very significant story, because remember that children and women have historically not had any agency or value, less so the further back you go in history. So the fact that Jesus chides the disciples who try to send the children and their mothers away is remarkable. These mothers obviously valued their children. They desired them to be blessed by this amazing teacher, prophet, rabbi. And Jesus demonstrates that he loves and values the children too, like their mothers, like a mother. He affirms the mothers as well as the children with their actions. He welcomes them. He makes space for them. And I'm sure he dandled them on his knees as a mother would her young child, and then he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. It's a really beautiful thing. Imagine yourself cradled in God's lap, loved and valued by the one who made you. And as any mother with stubborn children, Jesus' heart also breaks, and God's children refuse to listen to the truth he brings. before they, as we heard in the gospel this morning, kill the prophets and stone those who are sent with God's word. And his lament over Jerusalem, which we heard this morning, is vivid in its imagery. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus doesn't liken himself to a stern father reprimanding his wayward children. He wants to gather his children, hold them close, protect them like a mother hen. And ultimately, when he dies for us, it is through his labor and agony on the cross that we are given new life. God birthed us in creation, and his Son, in turn, gave us a new birth. I pray that today all of us, regardless of what our earthly family experience is or has been, all of us may find solace and joy in the knowledge that each of us is a beloved child of God, and that the best way we can honor God is to emulate that wonderful, nurturing, supportive, unconditional love to all of God's children. Maybe today, take a moment and write a Mother's Day card or lift your thanks and prayer to the one who loves us, as only a mother can. Amen.